time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for January 30th. Holidays today, National Inane Answering Message Day. Boop, need your name at the beep. And National Seat Swap Day. Why not the last weekend of January? But it is Royal Rumble weekend, and you cannot beat that. The birthdays today, real quick. Becky Lynch is 34 today. She's a very pretty woman who just had a baby, maybe a month and a half ago, 34. And Drake Maverick's 38 today. I want to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate, volunteer, anything you can do. Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Good morning. Welcome to the Pain Clinic the day prior to the Royal Rumble. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. I'm joined by Danger Boy. How you doing this morning, Danger?
Good morning. Doing well. Looking forward to tomorrow night. And my favorite pay-per-view of the year, though there's going to be no crowd and it kind of kills the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it does. Hi, we're joined by the Rob Sanderson, the artiste. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. I feel the same way. Favorite pay-per-view of the year. And without the crowd reactions, I don't know. If there was any pay-per-view of the year I could pick to put a few fans in the crowd, it would be this one more than Mania or anything else. So we'll see how it goes.
Next up, DC Dan Cole from North Carolina joining us. DC, you got a wool hat on this morning. Is it cold there?
Yeah, what the hell? You know, keep that up there, would you?
Yeah, we finally got some
snow. We had snow this week. That's not why I moved further south.
Well, California had snow, too. How do we explain that one? I don't know.
I would, but I'd upset some snowflakes, no yeah, pun intended.
Gotcha, global stuff. All right, we're joined by Furby from Hilton, New York. Furby, how's it going today?
Doing great. Good morning, everybody. Again, Royal Rumble, my favorite pay-per-view of the year as well. It'll be interesting to see what it's like with no fans.
Yeah,
got some hope, though.
I got to tell you, I saw some scenes from last year's Royal Rumble, and you're going to miss the fans. You're going to miss, like, I think last year, like, when the oh my God moments were when Brock Lesnar threw out, like, the first eight or nine people who came in. You know, I don't think you're going to get a crowd going nuts for that, but you know what? We'll talk about that in a minute, because there was something even bigger, biggest news of the week that happened this past week. WWE issued a press release on Monday to officially announce its streaming deal with NBCU Peacock streaming service, and what that means is the WWE network is now kind of being folded into the Peacock streaming service that NBC is doing for at least 5 years for $1 billion. And I'm not doing Dr. Evil doing that, or Dr. Love. Yeah, $1 billion for 5 years. Could mean the inevitable end of the WWE network. What do you guys think about that? I mean, that was pretty big news. I mean, we know that they've talked about selling the network at one time, doing some different things with it, but this is pretty much like, you know, hands off. We built it. Now you run it, you know, kind of thing. Danger?
I'm actually digging what's going on, not only because I needed a reason to buy Peacock Premium to get The Office, all the episodes, but it's a cheaper price. The price, so as of March 18th, the U.S. streaming service is going to be available only on ECU network, and it's going to be $4.99 a month, and you get everything for $4.99. Now they might do something like ESPN does with like WrestleMania later on down the line, where you have to pay extra for it for the pay-per-views. But you're paying essentially in the beginning, at least, you're paying half price to get everything you were getting for the same amount, and you can cut down on the amount of streaming services you have.
The thing with the $4.99 one, though, is you still get commercials. If you want to keep continue the same price of $9.99, you get the premium plus, you get commercial free.
Wait a second. My $9.99 one gives me commercials all the time during the pay-per-views. Are you kidding me? There's commercials left and right on the pay-per-views, you know, or the stream, you know, the events. So it's like, what do you mean commercials? Are they going to break away and have like Dove, you know, or two girls talking about gushers? I mean, what's going on?
I mean,
not going to touch that.
Wow. I got no.
Wow.
Sorry. Well, I saw this commercial during wrestling the other day. It's like, what is going on?
I'll try to cut through this awkwardness by saying there's another angle to this whole deal that I appreciate. As someone who recently canceled their WWE subscription because I wanted to stop giving my money to WWE, I could re-up now with NBC and wouldn't feel as guilty because they're getting my money.
And you get great content.
Right.
How about you, Artis? You're another one who like recently ditched the network. Does this change anything for how you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I have Peacock, so I mean, I think it's kind of, it's okay. Like, I'm mostly interested to see what the experience is like, how many menus you have to go through to get to the WWE content and how organized it actually is, sorting through stuff. Like, it's already can be kind of a mess on the network itself to search for something specific. So if everything just kind of gets blended in with a bunch of NBC crap, I don't know. I find it a little weird. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to go down a huge path with it, but like the NBC also said this week they're getting rid of NBC Sports Network, which from a hockey side of things, I absolutely hate. But then they've got $1 billion to throw Vince for the network for just in the United States. And I don't know. Hopefully they continue to create new content for it and stuff. But I'm going to kind of wait to see what the experience is like before I fully judge. But I don't know. It's just cost savings for a lot of people. So,
and to piggyback on what RT said, too, as far as, you know, functionality wise, it was difficult at times to find stuff on the WWE network, like he said. And I don't use Peacock much. My wife does. And from what I've heard her say, just navigating basic TV shows on there can sometimes be a pain. So I'm wondering how they're going to smoothly integrate that entire catalog of footage they have into that service.
You know, it's just interesting, that being said, this is the deal that they wrote. This is what I've got a brief rundown. Peacock's going to launch the WWE Network on March 18th, beginning with a rollout of more than 17,000 hours of new original and library WWE Network programming on demand and on 24/7 channel, including all live pay-per-views, including WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Fastlane, whatever, all the pay-per-views. That's then that would be all the pay-per-views. The first one is Sunday, March 21st, so it'll be within 4 days of it moving over. Original series like Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions, Undertaker The Last Ride, and apparently all new WWE icons, in-ring shows, NXT, NXT UK, WWE 205 Live, as well as replays of Raw and SmackDown, WWE Network archives, including every WWE, WCW, ECW pay-per-view event in history, except for the one I guess they take out and then they put back in later. But groundbreaking documentaries, including WWE 24, WWE Untold, WWE 365, and starting in 2022, one signature documentary annually. So, which is, I'm sure they're in the process of making. Now, that's pretty cool and everything. Now, Artiste, you brought up that they're stopping at the end of this year, NBC Sports Network. Well, we've heard rumors that a lot of the programming was going to be moving to USA, to the USA Network. So that
a lot of NHL and stuff is supposed to move to USA. So that could mean preempting of Raw and all that stuff, or maybe some of this WWE programming shifts to only Peacock at some point. This could mean a lot of changes for a lot of things. Also means that if you're going to tune into
NHL or NASCAR or cricket or whatever the hell else on there, like, you might not get a pregame show, a postgame show, whatever. So I'm interested to see what happens with all the preemptions and stuff, because that could be bad news for WWE. But if they're entering this huge agreement with this media conglomerate that a lot of people think is just going to buy WWE at some point, then I would assume Vince and company have, you know, the knowledge of what's going to happen and how much they're actually going to be on the air and not get preempted or whatever. You would hope they're planning for that kind of stuff.
There's rumors floating out around right now that NXT is going to become a network-only show again because of what's going on with NBC and USA having less availability for shows. We'll see what happens. But also, the NHL, I believe, is done with an NBC contract at the end of the year. So that may not come into play because there's big rumors about them possibly going back to ESPN, other places as well. So, you know, we will.
Hopefully there's a totally different option. But again, that's a whole different topic.
That, without a doubt. And that was kind of a later piece of news I put in there just because I think it does affect WWE. You know, to me, in the long run of all this, to me, it seems like that they are WWE built it, and now they're just gonna, I mean, obviously they're gonna support it still, but I think that they're gonna kind of take a step back and let someone else run it. So,
well, the weird thing about that is they have the rest of the world outside of the United States that they still have to put in all that work for. So, is anything going to fall back on that, or are other countries gonna have a better experience than the U.S.? Who knows?
Well, you also have to realize that right now WWE Network has like 1.5-ish million viewers, million subscribers signed up for it. Peacock is on the low end of any of the channels or any of the other major streaming services at 25 million. So it actually opens up a whole lot of possibility of new eyes catching something old, seeing something new, maybe getting hooked again. And WWE, actually, it takes a lot of pressure off of them to have to expand and all that kind of stuff. And you get $1 billion guaranteed. It's a great deal for them.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, and another thing that popped up in one of the articles that I was reading is now more than ever, you'll probably lose the fact that the guys who would sign up for WWE Network around WrestleMania, cancel it 3 months later, and then let it go for 9 months and then sign up again. Now, I mean, with Peacock, with there being so many more options, you're not going to see as much cancellation. So it's going to be best of both worlds for both ends.
How does Fox feel about all of this, though? I really wonder.
Yeah, that's what
we saw. ESPN felt.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
Fox is a subsidiary of Disney now, isn't it?
Yes,
and ESPN.
Yes.
So Disney's kind of the parent company, and I know there was talks that maybe WWE was going to get purchased by them. So it'll be very interesting.
As if they needed to go even more PG. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, that's the thing too, is it where what kind of ripples does this make in like where we're going to see them and everything. I mean, there's still a lot to be said, told, but you remember it was maybe 2-3 months ago that WWE started advertising that they were doing specialty shows on the Peacock network. So they obviously had that relationship set in stone a long time ago. It wasn't until NBC canceled, said that they were getting rid of the sports. It was like a week ago, Friday, that they said we're getting rid of our sports network. And as soon as that, I think that's when the dominoes started falling for WWE. Say, okay, well, we're going to now admit, you know, what we've been working on. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, there is a good deal. You can get a cheaper WWE network plus getting Peacock thrown in. Now, listen, all I know that's on Peacock is NBC programs and, yes, The Office. But, I mean, I've been watching The Office on the Comedy Channel for years. This now allows you to pick what you want. But I guess even since they started, there's like certain – they have like some Office deleted scenes and things like that that have been popping up. So there is some advantage if you're an Office fan. But I'm not really sure what else besides NBC. You know, I don't want to watch Elf or anything, you know, to be honest with you, but it's we'll see what happens. I'm kind of excited because I got the WWE network already, so I'm going to get Peacock now, and I think it's, you know, for the price I'm paying. And you know, it's just now it's like it's really weird how all these individual channels are streaming now and how they're all kind of like being exclusive to certain things, you know, like the Disney Pluses and the HBO Maxes, and now we've got the Peacock throwing their hat into the ring and everything. It's really going to be an interesting, you know, year, especially, you know, and then, you know, and then it makes you wonder what about touring with the WWE, you know, tour, you know, where does it that get become even less a priority when the world becomes back to normal from COVID-19? You know, I think that that's going to be something that maybe is lost in the shuffle. I mean, maybe we're not going to see that anymore. We'll just have big events.
I think we've all seen our last house show.
I'm scared to say that too, but I agree. We got to take a break. On that note, we're going to come back and talk about, yes, the weekend this is the Royal Rumble weekend, and it's a special holiday for all of us diehard Rumblers. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, the Artiste, DC Dan Cole, and you. And yes, it is Royal Rumble weekend. I'm super excited. I guess news that just came out the other day was Bad Bunny is going to be performing live the new single, Booker T, off his new album, El Ultimo Tour del Mundo. It's going to be live on the Royal Rumble this Sunday. I don't know who Bad Bunny is. I have no idea what that is, but he named a song after Booker T. So, I mean, you know, can you dig that, sucka?
I know a band called Bad Rabbits. I don't know a Bad Bunny, Bad Bunnies. I don't know.
I know of a production company called Bad Robot.
Sit, Ubu,
well,
sit.
Bad Bunny has been in the commercials for Corona.
Okay, so the youth speaks. The Corona, it's a Corona thing, huh?
time of year.
So, well, we have the Royal Rumble this weekend. I'll give you the matches besides the Rumble matches. Not only are we going to get both the men's and the women's Rumble, we're going to get Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens with Paul Heyman, last man standing for the Universal Championship. So far, Kevin Owens has been screwed out of every opportunity he's had against Roman Reigns. I don't find this one to be any different, but I would be really thrilled if Kevin Owens won it. Then, you know, but I'm just scared the Miz still got that briefcase, and I don't want to see it come into play.
Better him than Goldberg.
Well, I was gonna say we got McIntyre and Goldberg, and a lot of people are saying then you see Mr. Artiste, you would hope if Goldberg somehow won that match that maybe the Miz would come down and take it off of him.
Or just take it directly before Goldberg holds it at all. Yeah.
Yeah, don't let go. I have a feeling Goldberg's gonna be around to WrestleMania, so there's gonna be some sort of involvement of him maybe getting screwed by that's what I'm assuming by the end of the pay per view. And we got Asuka and Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for the women's tag team. That's it. Three matches and two Rumbles. This Rumble is going to be different. Danger, how is it going to be different?
Well, we don't have crowds. We don't have the reactions. We saw on Monday Edge announced himself for the Royal Rumble. I can guarantee that if we had a crowd in play, you would have not heard that announcement. You would not know who they're giving away the 30th entry. On backstage on FS1, you wouldn't know anyone in. I can guarantee that if they're fans, it's going to be different. We're going to miss those reactions. We're not going to get that heartfelt feeling of the crowd that's ready. It's disappointing we don't get that this year.
Yeah, and that's the thing too is that, yeah, we last year was Edge, and we saw replays of that in the last couple of weeks of how people reacted to that. There could be, you know, Andre the Giant could be resurrected and be coming down, and you're not going to get anything but canned, you know, reaction to it, you know. So I think that's one thing that's going to get taken out of this whole match, and unless they can be inventive, I don't know. I mean, what can they do to find that spark they get in front of a live crowd, especially when this is like the, you know, they'll have 26 names and 3-4 question marks, you know, and I mean, you know, and they really usually tease something like that, you know, like, you know, who it could possibly be, but now it's like I don't think they even made an effort to, like, you know, play the game with the numbers, you know. What do you think, Ferbs?
I feel like whoever they're going to try to get to be surprises, like their pool of people to choose from is probably lower. There's probably less people that are interested in making some surprise appearance or whatever. So I just, I don't know. I'm trying my best to not get my expectations up whatsoever. So maybe I could be slightly pleasantly surprised at something.
The biggest thing that I saw in the lead up to Royal Rumble this week is the rumblings in the rumor mill of a scary finish to the end of the Rumble this year.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I'm not really looking forward to what that could mean, knowing some of the bad endings that we've seen in the Royal Rumble over the last 10 years, mostly 2014 and 15. But I mean, hopefully the word scary might mean fiend. Who knows? I'd like to see maybe the three faces of Wyatt, something like they did with Mick Foley. I mean, that would be pretty interesting.
Well, also the report on the scary thing is actually taken wrongly by everybody who's read it. I've heard they said they were discussing a possible scary end or possible scary ending to the Rumble, not necessarily the Rumble match itself, but to the Rumble. And it was getting considered, not that it was going to happen or anything like that, that there was consideration given to something that someone said was scary.
Okay.
So it's not
project maggots on the mat again.
Yeah. We're going to see Randy Orton's giant Viper. Giant snake.
Well, so is that like Randy going to come down to the ring at the end of the night?
Snake. That would be scary, Mr. Ortiz, if Goldberg won it. But you know what? I mean, depends on how they place the matches. Say Roman Reigns loses to Kevin Owens or loses the belt and then inserts himself into the Royal Rumble. We've seen that before where a champion has lost earlier in the show and got into the Rumble. You know, that definitely is in the realm of possibility. Yeah. You know,
is there actually a chance of Owens winning that match, though?
I don't know. I mean,
as somebody who doesn't honestly watch SmackDown that much,
I will
and
say,
is a big Kevin Owens fan, I'd love to see it, but I feel like that's probably not what they're.
Owens has been screwed every time he's faced Reigns, so if there's finally a way for him not to get screwed, maybe he could win one. I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be very long. I mean, it would be like an hour or whatever, maybe before the match or something, but or maybe the Miz. Like
everything they did with Reigns and Heyman, that just seems like a long term thing to me.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. So it's like, I'm just trying to think of what they can do that would make us all be like, well, we were wrong. It was really exciting. Something happened. Great. And I right now, I can't see that anything happening. Vince McMahon getting in. I mean, going 80 or whatever, you know?
I mean, going into the Rumble, I really only see maybe chances of like four or five guys that might actually come out on top. So, Who knows what it could mean? I mean, right now we know only of like 18 participants, I think. So it's going to be a crazy outcome. I mean, obviously two of the hotter guys right now that he could think of, maybe Daniel Bryan, Big E, Keith Lee, Jeff Hardy, Cesaro, Nakamura might have a great showing. So.
And I'm sure there's going to be a surprise appearance or two. Maybe one of the guys they cut who hasn't showed up and one of the other shows yet, bring him back for the Rumble, you know?
I kind of wish Big E was going to be there defending the title, lose the title, then win the Rumble and go on that way. I don't really see them having an Intercontinental Champion win the Rumble. But, I mean, he's who I would love to see win, or Cesaro, but I don't see any chance of that actually happening.
I was going to say, much like every other year, I would love to see the Rumble winner be somebody that hasn't quite reached that pinnacle yet.
Which so we got with McIntyre last year, but we don't get too often. Yeah.
Right, so a guy like, or like what our expectations were when Nakamura won. And went on to face AJ Styles.
Well, let's say The Rock
didn't quite go the way we wanted. But.
Let's say The Rock shows up and The Rock wins the Rumble. Okay.
Would hate it. That would be a scary ending to me.
Well, yes. See, there we go. See, that's the thing is the original intent for WrestleMania was The Rock and Reigns. So it's like, you know, maybe that was what originally was supposed to happen anyways, you know, was. You know, could be, you know.
I think it can still do that without him being in the Rumble or anything. I don't think you need him in the Rumble.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, it's funny. I think it was like yesterday, it was 5 years ago when Reigns won the Rumble in Philadelphia. And The Rock, they posted a picture of The Rock, and Rock's got this inquisitive look on his face as Reigns has got his hands up in the air. And you know the crowd was booing. I remember how loud that was. It was...
Well, and that was the year too. It wasn't necessarily the fact that Roman won. That, I mean, that was a lot of it, but it was the fact that they buried
Daniel Bryan,
all of the people that the fans really wanted to see win in the process.
And then even the year before that too, when Batista won, when Rey Mysterio came out on at 30 and everybody wanted Daniel Bryan, like, gotta feel bad for Mysterio at that point. Like, they're not necessarily booing Rey, but they're booing the fact that the guy that they want isn't there. So, well, who knows?
So do we have any predictions? Can we just get through some outlandish predictions before we end this segment? Who do you think, who each one of us give, who we think is going to win the Men's Royal Rumble? I'm not the women's one's a tough one, too, because, you know, you have two women's champions. Who would be good matches against either of them? I mean, we could do both of them if we want. If you guys have, like, a woman's woman you think will come out and win it.
Yeah, I got my predictions. Okay. I think for the men's match, I think it's going to be Daniel Bryan. For the women's match, I think Rhea Ripley.
That's the very logic. How logical? How about you, DC?
I'm going to go with Artiste here. Some of the names.
I'm not entering the Royal Rumble. I don't.
Oh, no.
Artiste is number 29999.
No, I would love to see someone like Cesaro or Big E win the Rumble. You know, somebody that's put in the dues, and it's about time they got a push like that. Woman's side, Rhea Ripley's a good pick. I'm going to tone it down, though. I'm thinking Lacey Evans.
Oh. Woo, Lacey.
I got my number two pick for the women's match, but I'll let everybody else.
Hey, wait till we all get ours out first. Else. Danger, you're up next.
All right, I'm going to go with a scary ending for everybody on this, except I kind of want to see the match at WrestleMania, even though no one else will. I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar winning the Men's Rumble. And then I'm going because everyone else has already said who I was going to pick for the women's, I'm going to go with Bianca Belair.
Okay, that was my number two pick.
All right, Mr. Ortiz.
I don't really see it happening, but whatever. I'm just going to say AJ Styles because I would like to see it on the men's side, and I was also going to say Bianca Belair.
Good. I haven't done mine yet, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go with Charlotte for the women's because I think you can build up the Asuka feud, even though they're tag champs right now. Depends. They could be not tag champs by the end of the pay-per-view. I would like that. I mean, both of them are great wrestlers. I mean, I can't think of anybody else who's getting, you know, pushed nearly as much as Charlotte's truly pushed as like an unbeatable type of woman. So, and I'm going to go, you know, it's up to toss up between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. Both of those are good picks. Daniel Bryan, one of the first ones to come out and say he was going to it, seems to have the crowd in his hand. I mean, even though it's taped, he still seems to have the crowd in his hand on these tape shows, and he did definitely before. He still, to this day, you know, he still gets the crowd going. So I'm going to go with DB, Daniel Bryan, for the men's. And, you know, I don't, you know, I mean, there's a lot of names that we don't even know if are going to be in it, you know, The Fiend, any of these guys. So, you know, but DC.
I was just going to say real quick, my second picks for men's and women's Rumble would be whoever comes out at the number I've drawn for our Rumble pool.
Yes, folks, we do gamble on the Rumble. And if you've been listening to this show,
it makes it so much better.
Yes, it does.
You guys know we've done this for, you know, years. We've been gambling on the Rumble. We did it one time.
But it's not going to be the same, you know, being in a room when, you know, the countdown hits zero and you're like, who did I get? And like, out comes Santino Marella, or R-Truth, and you're like,
well, you get harassed by everybody.
I just remember we the times we did it in the bar in which like Mike DiGiorgio won it, and we're all pissed off because it's like he shows up once and walks away with all our money, you know. And so and it's all fifth. It's all very piddly stuff, very small amounts of gambling. It's not like we were, you know, betting our houses or anything, but it's just,
I would have bet more, but my funds have been locked up on Robinhood.
Oh yeah, GameStop. Hey. But invest in GameStop there. I'll just tell you now. Okay, we got to get out of here. We got to break again. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, all the way from North Carolina. Danger Boy from Gates, the artist is downtown Rochester, and Furby from Hilton, New York. I'm, of course, on the 16th floor of the Five Star Bank building here in Rochester, and you are listening to us, and thank you so much. We appreciate it so much. We're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria and Palmer's Food Service, Don't Slight, Empire, Culver, and artist, before we get too far, last week you had the garlic bread with you. How was that garlic bread?
It was delicious. I waited a little too long to start eating it, but it was one of those things, actually, because we were doing the show and stuff, and then I kind of forgot about it, and then I was very, pleasantly surprised. I surprised myself, like, ooh, garlic bread. So I wish I had some right now.
Ooh, a piece of candy.
Yes, exactly.
Well, welcome back.
I, too, have reached the age where I buy myself stuff, forget about it, and then I'm pleasantly surprised when I discover it's there.
Yeah.
That's the best, like, when you randomly order something on, like, Prime or Etsy or Pro Wrestling Tees or whatever, and then you like check the mail and you're like, ooh, forgot I bought that. So, like my TNT Championship pin that came today. Ooh. So
look at that.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But
I will say.
And Artiste, quick plug, I remembered to order my shirt before the end of the month.
Well, all right, so quick plug just to get into it. I do have the shirt on right now, the all-day Brody Lee tribute. I'm announcing that shirt's only on sale through tomorrow, through the 31st. Everybody who buys that shirt is being entered to win one of these five Luke Harper autographs, which are obviously, unfortunately, very rare at this point. So ProWrestlingTees.com/2CW through tomorrow, through the 31st, and the drawing will be on Monday. So put that up online, but you don't have to do anything extra. Like, all the information goes straight to 2CW to put into the raffle. But
you hold those up again. Hold those up again for a second, because I'm just not quick enough on the camera. So I'm gonna post pictures of that and how people can win it. Thank you. Look at that. Handsome fellow that guy is. So, yeah.
I mean, I'm not encouraging it to be fixed, but it would look good next to my 8x10 print I ordered.
I don't know if this will be one of the exact ones that's in there, but this one I just appreciated. That is, he signed this one as Brody Lee and Brody crossed Lee. Out. Lost out Luke Harper. That might be one of them. The rest of them are Luke Harper ones.
In the event I win, I call dibs on that one.
So, folks, yeah, we'll have it up on the Facebook, too, if you with a link, so you guys can, if you want to get
it. It's the first time I have ever worn a Maple Leafs-themed anything in my life, so shout out to John.
And you are not naturally combusting or anything, so that you obviously throws out that out the window.
I got Joe Thornton now too, so I kind of, it's hard to dislike them like I did as a kid. So,
but he has been walking around calling people buddy, pal, and friend.
Hey,
oh no! What are you talking about?
I remember when we went to that arena to watch NXT, and they have those statues out front, and I may have had a few, and I was trying to get in pictures with them. Yeah,
you were having full blown conversations with them, Ash. I was there.
Yeah, you were.
It was a lot of fun. But, well, one thing I want to talk about in this segment, Amanda Huber, this week's AEW Unrestricted, told the whole story of what happened with Brody Lee, John Huber, and laid it out from beginning to end. And so if you have any doubts on what you thought might have happened, she sets the record straight with Tony Schiavone and what's her name?
Aubrey Edwards.
Aubrey, and you know, does it in she has a sense of humor, which is great. It's tough too. I mean, it's been a month. You know, it's very still. You know, still hits us very hard. But does go through and just tell us how things, you know, the whole up and down story of John Huber's getting admitted to the hospital, getting moved, things were looking bad, started to get better, then they went bad again. Really is a great insight to their relationship, you know, because I would love to get her on too. I'm going to say, see if you can just come on and talk to the Rochester crowd. Maybe I'll do that for the next show. I'm going to try at least because she is a Rochesterian and he was Rochesterian, and we haven't really had anything exclusive to Rochester in any mentions. But we did find out that there was no services going to be done. The services were the Brody Lee tribute that we saw on TV. But,
which was perfect.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, that was so well done. I think obviously
we're living in a different world temporarily, hopefully, right now. And I appreciated what Amanda said about, like, the ECMO machine that John was on is the same machine they're using for COVID patients, and she didn't feel right having a big gathering, you know, and potentially somebody else having to go on one of those machines from it and stuff. So, you know, it's a tough decision, but that tribute is so perfect. It's so well done, and it's something that is recorded and can live on forever. So,
yeah, and she did talk about, you know, how shocking it was when he had the ECMO attached to him, and how it took a while for her to get used to that, because it basically they hook it to a vein in your leg, and it goes into your chest, and it's really pretty intrusive physically. And But we got to hear the whole story, and I would suggest any of you listen to it, but please check it out. And
and you can watch the YouTube version of it. The video version of it will come out on the TNT YouTube page on Monday. So if you're not going to listen to it first, or if you want to watch it back with the video, that comes out Monday.
Yeah, and I can understand how it was, you know, how it was very private, and if you know John Huber, he really wasn't the kind of guy who would go around looking, you know, for people to recognize him, and which is true. You know, I mean, it happened. It would happen. It happened at Amherst games. It had happened whenever he was in, you know, but he lived here. This was his town. You know, he'd been going to Amherst games before. People knew him as Luke Harper. So it's like, you know, it just happens to be now that someone has a camera zoomed in on him in a crowd. So, but yeah, and it's, you know, and they really did respect their privacy. And the interesting thing I thought was that they all knew about it quite in advance of what the situation went really bad. And she really was scared about the dirt sheets and people, you know, and that stuff. And not one person leaked it. Not one person in that company told anybody. Nobody had. We didn't. And she. And I think when it comes to her saying she surprised close friends, we're friends. We were friends. So I mean, and we were surprised. I was honestly blown away when I heard that. You know, so it's like, you know, that's how well they, you know, and in this world, and you know, wrestling can, you know, people gossip, people talk, you know, I mean, you know, so that's a tough thing to do. Danger, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was one of the more surprising things when she explained exactly how early everybody in AEW, like, from the beginning, some people knew, but when she addressed the entire locker room and let them know what was going on, and no one leaked anything. Everyone leaks everything in wrestling. They have for years and years and years and years. So that was just a testament to how everybody was, who knew him, was close to him and knew what his wishes were and respected what his wishes and what her wishes were. And that is awesome to see. As for the entire interview, I pulled it together this time, which I haven't exactly done every time they've done something about John. But I could not imagine having to go through one day of that. Nevertheless, 2.5 months of it.
Yeah.
And be as strong as she is still.
Yeah. And not knowing why this is happening. That was the one thing, is there really was no particular situation which made that happen. It just happened, you know? It was the fickle finger of fate, as they say, you know, it's like, you know, and because, you know, when he went into the hospital, you know, they found out that his lung capacity was down to half. He was getting 50% oxygen in his blood when he went in, which, you know, if you're below 90, they hospitalize you. So he was, you know, I mean, that and.
Yeah, hearing that story about them having to do it with three different machines because they thought the machines were broken.
Yeah.
Was just like, wow.
Yeah. So it's. I'm glad that came out. I'm glad it was told. I mean, I don't know if we really deserved that or not, but I think that she was tired of people making assumptions. I believe that's why she actually asked if she could go on the show and talk about it.
And I think with that too, like,
assumptions. Yeah. Go ahead.
She, you know, like she said, she didn't owe that to anybody. I think it makes sense, and it's kind of easier to just get it out there and then not have to individually follow up with people and stuff on that. But I think a lot of that too is, like, you can tell there still are some questions. There's still some things that you're never really going to get answers to, that she's never really going to get answers to. I mean, a lot of that is just crazy. And I think, you know, one of the harder parts was hearing more about you know, how they were looking for the transplant, but then the infection, and you can't get the transplant. And I know people have been in that type of situation too, where it's a whole balancing act kind of thing. So, I mean, the one thing I want to say is, like, she kind of opened up a little bit more too about the kids and how they dealt with that. And I mean, Brody Jr. again stole the show on Dark this week. Highly recommend watching that. His commentary is hilarious, just telling Excalibur to shut up and standing on the table and stuff.
It was awesome.
You know, Nolan's too young to understand what's going on and stuff, but Brody, for a now 9-year-old kid, like, the way he's handled it is just, my God. I mean, he's stronger than anybody, so.
Yeah, and the whole story of how Big E and Cody came to be with their friend Brody Lee, or John Huber, as well as little Brody, when everything started to go, you know, and you know, you find out, you know, that who John was really good friends with in WWE, and who came, and you know, now you may understand a little bit why Big E took it as badly as he did, because he's still posting about it on Twitter as well. You know, it's really affected him. So it was go ahead, DC.
I was just going to say, in the other part of it too, that kind of comforted me is, of course, you know, with all the good stuff we've heard about AEW doing, you know, for his entire family, and of course there's people out there who go negative and assume that AEW is in some way trying to cash in on this, or take advantage of it, or, you know, exploit, you know, negative one. It's sad that she had to use the platform to say, look, you know, this is 100% them coming to us, and number one, us wanting to do it. And for her to say, you know, trust me, if he were to decide tomorrow he wants nothing more to do with wrestling, that's it, we're done. Right. We're walking away. This is all for the benefit of the family. This has nothing to do with AEW trying to in some way take advantage of this terrible situation.
No, and anybody that's ever met little Brody knows how obsessed with wrestling he has always been. And so he's getting to kind of live out his dream in a little way during a very, very rough period of time. There's nothing better that AEW could do than what they're doing. So, and as Amanda alluded to too, there's more that they've done that they haven't talked about that we don't know about and stuff. I mean, that, it's just, to me, that side of things, plus what you're talking about with, like, nobody, you know, leaking it out and stuff, it really shows what kind of family atmosphere that company has, that you really don't see that many companies, whether wrestling or any other aspect of the world. So props to them.
And real quick too, the one parallel that I never considered until I heard her interview was how heavily she relied on Cody, because Cody is essentially went through the same thing Brody Jr. is going through right now. His father was his hero, you know, an icon in wrestling, be it for things he did on screen or off screen, and then to lose that, and then how do you, you know, go forward from there? It was something I never even considered, but incredible to hear how he stepped up essentially for this.
Excellent. Well, on that note, we got to take a break. Come back. We'll get some news in before the end of the show. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Not quite the music this lady, Alexa Bliss, comes out to now, I guess. She comes out to the Funhouse theme. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, Danger Boy, and Furby, and you. And Furby, man, real quickly, let's get to some Pain Clinic news that happened earlier today.
Yeah, absolutely. A good friend of mine went out of his way to sponsor a segment or a match on GCW's Fight Forever. We had a match that was sponsored on the card during the Black Label Pro section, or their time block at 8 a.m. It was originally supposed to be Jake Something versus a very good professional wrestler. Did get switched last minute to Rohit Raju versus a very good professional wrestler. But you can check that out on YouTube or Fight TV. It's a free stream. It's 24 hours. Started last night at 8 p.m. and it will go on through 8 p.m. tonight.
And you can see Raju.
One of the matches I'm looking forward to on that is at 5 o'clock today. Atticus Kogar and Red Death, Daniel Garcia, who you may have seen on NXT this week as Dante Rios.
Interesting.
So, shout out to the ESW Heavyweight Champion, Daniel Garcia, for another WWE appearance.
And Rajiv can be seen on Impact every week, just about. You know, I mean, he was the X Division champion there for a while. So that's pretty cool, man. Get to see the little Pain Clinic logo and get our name out there. Thank you so much, Furby, for that. So we got to get some news out of the way before we get out of here. We were talking quite a bit about AEW in the last segment. We didn't really get to much, but AEW announced this past week that Sting is going to have his first match with the company. Him and Darby Allin are going to face Brian Cage and Ricky Starks in a street fight?
Street fight.
Yeah.
Street
fight. So that maybe that's the technicality when you don't want it, when you're a retired wrestler, but you don't want to call it a match. Because I remember Ric Flair did the same thing with Randy Orton, you know, when he after he had retired. So, but we're gonna see Sting in action with Darby Allin. This is gonna be on February 27th.
Sunday, March 7th.
So March 7th. Oh, I'm sorry. March 7th.
They have moved it. Yeah. First time doing a Sunday pay-per-view for them, too, because they don't want to compete with all the other fighting stuff. So
yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So another news in AEW. I don't know where this is going, but Cody Rhodes came out and addressed Shaq, kind of bad-mouthed him in an interview and came out in the middle of the ring and addressed Shaq and said, you know, I can't. You know, you and Shaq, and you know, Shaq's trying to team up with Jade Cargill against Cody and his wife, who's pregnant. It's not going to happen. And then, of course, we got to see Arn Anderson bring out a replacement for Cody. Or, I'm sorry, not for Cody, for his wife. And it's Red Velvet, who's going to take Brandy's place. Interesting. Shaq is going to be mixing it up, huh? Shaq is going to be in the wrestling ring. That's March 7th as well for Revolution. So, I don't know what to think about that. What do you guys think? Yeah, I see a lot of shifty eyes, okay?
I mean, I know March was mentioned, and I assume they're trying to do it for the pay-per-view. To me, I almost feel like this is something you give away on TNT and try to get a ton of viewers on that, because I don't know how many people are truly going to buy a pay-per-view to watch Shaq wrestle.
Well, there's also
a ton of people would tune into the TV show for it.
They also might have an issue if the planned NBA All-Star game happens that weekend, which may, because they haven't actually put it all together. There's a chance that it happens that day, so Shaq might not be available that day. And they would have to do it on Dynamite, which, like you said, is a better idea. You get more eyes, and it's free for someone to see as opposed to paying to see Shaq.
I mean, I saw some people tweet about it this week, like, oh, AEW's trying to be like WCW, bringing in Shaq and stuff. And, yeah, I'm not crazy about it either. There's plenty of stuff in AEW I like, but, I mean, the numbers don't lie. With the little interview he did, like how much the ratings popped that first time he was on Dynamite, I mean, it makes sense to do something with him. So,
well, it's interesting.
That and then Sting wrestling, like I'm looking forward to seeing what like the actual like good matches are going to be at Revolution.
Well, I will say, Shaq, believe it or not, is involved with this angle, but he's also working with WWE wrestlers during his Shaq Bowl event that's going to be happening February 7th. He's going to be involved with Drew McIntyre and The Miz. So I wonder how long before that gets axed by the WWE. Because I remember we had Snoop, and Snoop was Snoop was doing that new show, Go Big, and he works with WWE. He's a Hall of Famer, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of, if Shaq gets immediately excommunicated from the WWE and this changes what's going to happen February 7th or maybe not. So interesting workings going on with AEW and WWE. And it's funny now, WWE, some of the leaders in WWE will actually address AEW by name now when they're doing press conferences and stuff, including Triple H. So I think that, you know, maybe they didn't give them credence until recently that maybe they're legit. You know, they certainly allowed Big E to be on Renee's podcast this past week, and her husband was the champion of AEW. So, I'm just curious, you know, maybe there's a little, maybe the, it's not a bad thing to have competition. That's for sure in this business. Got two more little pieces of news before we run out of time. Moose is set to become a free agent in June of this year from Impact Wrestling. Moose is probably one of the best things on Impact, honestly. I mean, he's definitely gotten become a better wrestler. I remember when he was in Ring of Honor, and he was just kind of like come out and doing power moves and crushing people. Now he can actually wrestle a bit more. He does some crazy moves and stuff. So I would sign him if I was any of the big companies. I mean, what do you guys think?
He definitely looked like $1 million in the Hard to Kill pay-per-view. I mean, they made him look like a superstar. So, I mean, if they keep him at that caliber and at that level, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that he gets a shot anywhere.
Yeah, Moose was definitely had the spotlight on him in a match that had Kenny Omega. So I don't know if they're grooming him to go to AEW when his contract's up or they're grooming him to be the champion, but whichever way, they're keeping him as a superstar status.
You guys think any thoughts on Moose there, Mr. Artiste, DC?
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. I thought he looked great at the pay-per-view, and I'm all for these guys kind of switching it up, and maybe at some point we see AEW get some Impact guys, Impact get some AEW guys, whatever. I mean, back and forth, but he's definitely improved a ton from his indie days, his 2CW appearances and stuff. He's a former Syracuse football player, right?
So. Yeah.
As long as he doesn't end up you know where.
Land of the Giants, maybe. Okay, one last thing as the music starts playing. Trey Miguel made his re-debut in Impact this past week. I know his tag partners are also on NXT in the tournament right now. Trey Miguel gets a big win in an eight-man tag match. Crazy, getting the pin in the wind. And, man, does that big things for Trey? I mean, I think obviously, you know, it does. It's got to be big things when he gets the win. He gets the pin in the win. So, but it was cool because he was like the big mystery on this past week's Impact. And, you know, the power to him. What do you think, Ferbs? Yeah, I know you're a big Trey Miguel fan.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, he looked like he came out with a whole new attitude. You know, just a different look. You know, look good, big win. You know, we'll see where it goes from there.
All right.
Did he look like he had a new attitude, though, or did he look like he was kind of disappointed that he's not with his friends?
You could go
either way. I mean, I'm another person I'd love to see AEW use a little bit in this crossover too. So
sure, cool. And we're going to get a lot of that, but we got to get out of here. I want to thank DC, thank you Artiste, thank you Furby and Danger. We'll see you next week, same bat time, same bat channel here on Fox Sports 1280.